Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/privatewealth. Member FDIC.
We're on with David Fowler, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
I'm going to focus our conversation on a couple things today. More broadly, the economy, global economy, but also we're going to touch on Brexit a little bit, too. Let's start with the economic portion of this. The UK economy, seen as the fastest growing in the G7 in 2024. It seems like quite a turnaround.
It does. And, you know, the question, of course, has got to be, and of course, you have to remember I'm Irish, right? So I might have a vested interest here. But the question has got to be for how long? I think, you know, in kind of fundamental terms, and maybe just to remind the listeners, there was a general election in the UK in beginning of July. There is a new government that has a massive majority, roughly 2/3 of the seats in the House of Commons are now held by the Labour Party, which means that they have pretty much a majority that is unassailable. And it gives them the opportunity to implement their policy really without constraint. I think this is something that, you know, the polls were showing for quite a bit up to the run-up to the election that Labour were going to do well. And I think the fact that people were just, I think, tired of 13 years of conservative rule. And having a new government, at least the idea that there would probably be a new government now, the realization that there is a new government with a substantial majority, probably the largest majority, certainly in the last 100 years. It gives businesses and it gives consumers, I think, this feeling, okay, we now know what's going to happen. And as we've talked about before many times, the one thing for business in particular that's a real problem is uncertainty. Now they know. They may not like every policy that the Labour Party brings in. The new Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Rees, is a very accomplished economist, well-respected within the profession, and well-respected, I think, throughout business in the UK. I think she was a very good choice in order to, for that role. I think that she has a good relationship with British industry, and I think British industry understands that they will probably see the equivalent of corporation tax move up a little bit. I think they understand that tax levels for high earners will probably move up a little bit. But at the same time, there will be more emphasis on creating income growth at the middle to lower end of the income stream, where, as we know, you know, any increase in income tends to go straight into the economy. So I think they're going to try to build out a growth economy by doing things like that. They're talking about a lot of brand new house building because there's a huge shortage of housing in the UK. They're talking about increasing employment within the National Health Service, where there are massive shortages and massive delays. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are starting in the UK that are, I think, are going to generate a really good outcome. And so I think for this year, you know, I think what we've seen in the last, you know, the first 6 months of the year was kind of the hope and the aspirational growth, where we saw growth move up by about roughly 1.5%, maybe just a little less. I think growth for the year is probably going to be probably 1 to 1.5%. But that's better than last year. Last year, the UK actually had negative growth, so it was a recession. So I think things are looking better. And with a government that's going to be stable, that can run its entire five-year course, I think the seeds are being sowed now for growth that we will see, sustained growth that we will see over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and David, as you mentioned, Britain was in a recession last year. It's had a really high inflation that's coming under control. I think interest rates are starting to be cut there. I mean, it just, there was sort of a at the bottom of the heap mentality that I guess anywhere is better than going down, right? So anything would be up, right?
Pretty much, you know, and I think, you know, I think there are things that are going to change. The economy will be incented in a different way than it was incented under the Conservative government. And I think those things will provide sustainable growth. So I think, you know, the outlook, I think, for the UK actually is relatively good.
from an investment standpoint, if we're, let's say, a U.S. investor and we have investments in the U.K., how should we be positioning ourselves?
I think, you know, you're going to see interest rates come down a little bit. Certainly, there is a global trend for interest rates to come lower, which is all really part of the kind of rebalancing post-COVID. You know, and, you know, when I know we're going to talk a little bit later about commodity prices and stuff, but there is this thing, you know, in statistics called mean reversion. And this is the idea that, you know, if something moves to an extreme over time, it kind of claws its way back to somewhere towards the middle. Now, the middle may have moved, but we go back to the middle, which is kind of makes sense. If you think about it in just normal terms, there's a reason why normal is called normal. That's because it happens a lot. Extremes don't happen a lot. And so, you know, we saw an extreme increase in money supply during COVID because governments had to pay people who couldn't go to work. Once COVID was over, there was a massive expansion in demand because consumer demand had been pent up for 2.5 years. So we go from one end to the other end of the spectrum. You know, the inflationary impact of that, which had to occur because there was so much money in the money supply that was generated during COVID payments, so much demand chasing so few goods, you had to have an inflationary outcome. Just, it was inevitable. But now what we're seeing is that supply and demand is moving back to equilibrium or something close to it. And we're starting to see this mean reversion move. Interest rates are going to start moving down. I think you'll see, you know, generally the cost of living will start to come down. It may not be what it was before, but we're not going to see the increases. And this whole aspect, I think, interest rates are going to be, it's a really important aspect for people to kind of look at. And in the UK, we're going to see rates coming down. I think, as I said, with the new government, I think the UK is actually looking relatively good in some respects for investment. You still always have the problem with the issues that they're going to have exporting into the EU and importing from the EU. Those things aren't going away.
Well, let's zoom out a little bit and talk about those commodity prices that you mentioned just a second ago. Falling commodity prices globally, signaling maybe some weakness, global economic weakness. I know in the U.S. we've had a little bit of a stock market recovery. The market's been higher after a big drop, but seems to be trending higher. Talk to us a little bit about why the falling commodity prices are such a warning signal.
Well, I think, you know, they can be seen as a warning signal, but to me, actually, they're not as much. Because, again, I think what we're seeing is this kind of mean reversion that's going on. So, you know, if you look at, you know, copper, for example, used to be the big, you know, bellwether commodity that people looked at because of the importance of copper in a lot of different manufacturing activities. You know, copper prices have come down, but they were ferociously high. So they're coming off all-time highs. You know, crude has come down in the last month or so. Again, you know, but crude has, you know, been kind of consistently in this kind of $85 to $90 a barrel level, particularly in the front months. You know, these are relatively high levels. You know, what we're not seeing, for example, is if you go to the gas station, you know, crude may have come down, you know, 10% or more in the last month. You know, certainly gasoline hasn't. But again, that's because there's a big difference. You know, crude is relatively easy to generate. Gasoline has to be refined, and therefore there's constraints with refining, and that keeps the prices, that can keep prices high. But, you know, I think what we are going to see is this movement towards prices coming down quickly, but they're coming down quickly from very high levels. And they are going to move closer to where, for example, the 3 or 4 year average, you know, if you strip out the COVID years, where the 3 or 4 year average would be, I think that's where we're going. So I don't think it's an indicator of terrible things to come. I think what's happening is that things are just going back to normal. And maybe one of the markets that will have to readjust a little bit will be the equities market, because I think that may be a little, it may be moving a little faster than it needs to. And part of that's, you know, interest rate cut jubilation and that type of stuff. But, you know, I think there is going to be this kind of general movement towards a more kind of normalized economic profile.
How much does the weakness in China right now impact the global economy, and how much will it impact the global economy moving forward?
It does, but it's difficult to predict, you know, just because of the command control nature of the Chinese economy. You know, to an extent, they can kind of turn it on, turn it off. And it's difficult to estimate what is the impact, what the impact is going to be over the next year or so, because the government can step in and move things around so relatively quickly, just by, you know, signaling their intentions that they want X and Y as the outcome. So I think it's important, but I think it's, again, it's a bigger trend than just China.
Changing the subject back to the UK briefly here, let's talk about Brexit. There's some news on Brexit this week about businesses and customs agents complaining that there are these checks on goods that never before took place. I guess this is, again, the importing-exporting part of the equation that is still causing headaches.
Yeah, what a shock. Huh? What if there's something they forgot to say back in 2016 when they had before the vote? Yeah, there's going to be customs on stuff coming in from third countries. Who would have thunk it? Yeah, it's a problem. The government, the Conservative government, tried to delay implementing any customs checks on the UK side for as long as they could, because obviously, you know, they maintained that everything would be great after Brexit and you won't notice any difference except everything will be better. And generally, there have been a lot of differences. And the one thing you know is that most things are worse. So this would be probably filed into that collection, too. So yeah, the government has brought in new customs checks on goods coming in from the EU. And what I think is particularly annoying for importers is that not only is there, are their goods being delayed, and in some cases for people, for example, who import plants from the EU, you know, garden plants and things like that, the delays can mean that the plants are actually dead by the time they get them, is the fact that they also have to pay for inspections that don't actually occur. This, I think, is just kind of like the icing on a cake of just, you know, one thing after another that makes life difficult. There are ways that the British government could deal with this. They could, for example, sign the veterinary agreement that was offered 4 years ago, 5 years ago, which means that the UK would have to keep its veterinary standards. So animal husbandry and all the aspects of, you know, meat production, all that, all the downstream aspects in line with EU regulation. Probably wouldn't be a big deal because EU regulation kind of measures, it also mirrors kind of global good practice. The same thing with phytosanitary, which would deal with agricultural, like plant products and stuff like that. They would just have to agree to adopt and maintain EU standards. You know, from a practical point of view, you would think that would be relatively easy and you would think that they would probably want to do it. But again, politically, it looks like they're just, so they would be backing down on the joys of Brexit. So it's, I think it's going to continue to be a problem until somebody finally says, you know, enough's enough and let's just try to find a way to deal with this in a way that we can get something close to free trade again with the EU.
And you mentioned the new government that's in place there, and I guess this is sort of a crystal ball type question, but any chance that they could do away with this Brexit thing and go back? Are there backseas allowed or no?
It's hard. You know, a couple of years ago, Labour parties, like the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, actually was in favour of trying to renegotiate the exit agreement so that they could come back in some form. But official Labour Party policy is that Brexit is Brexit. But I do think they will try to negotiate a deal kind of like Norway or Switzerland, whereby they have access to the market, to the common market. They would have to engage in mirroring EU legislation on certain aspects of market activities, but they would not be a member state. So they would still have their own foreign policy, their own monetary policy, all that kind of stuff. I think that's where they probably will try to go. They may have, politically, they may just have to let it let the pain increase a little bit so that there's more kind of general call for this, and then they can roll in as the white knight. But I think that's the direction of it, assuming the EU would want them back. And that's an assumption, because the UK, certainly under Boris Johnson in particular, was seen to be a very unreliable negotiating partner. And, you know, deals that were struck suddenly were unstruck at the whim of Mr. Johnson and his cronies. So there is a bad taste in the mouth of the EU generally. And for them to come back, it would take a unanimous vote of every member state. And I don't think that's there right now.
Yeah. And I guess the big question is, you know, whether bridges burned completely or just partially.
Exactly. Yeah. Are they singed or burned?
David, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can always get me by email. And my email address is david.feller, so david.feller, at associatedbank.com. Or you can reach me by phone on 866-524-8836.
All right, David, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Steve.